Well, actually, it's a dangerous thing when you think about it to celebrate Mother's Day. It's kind of a sticky situation because for some people, they've lost their mom, so it could be a hurtful thing. Some people, you know, have never been blessed with children, and, you know, they can feel a little bit bad about the situation. And then for others, others may feel bad that we're honoring motherhood in general, where some people have had children and never been a mom to them. And just because they had a child doesn't necessarily make them an honorable mother. So, you know, it's kind of an iffy thing sometimes to celebrate Mother's Day, to make it part of our service. But my philosophy is this. If we don't honor mothers here in church, where are they going to get honored? I know throughout the country today, people will be receiving and giving cards, receiving and giving phone calls and stuff like that, and that's all well and good. But today we can reflect on the biblical meaning of what true motherhood is all about. And that is not something you're going to find in the newspapers. That's not something you're going to find on TV. So yeah, it's risky. We're devoting a service where we're honoring mothers and we're honoring motherhood. But it's because it was God's idea. It was God's idea. Motherhood is God's idea. And in society, we've put a situation where motherhood is kind of looked down upon. Stay-at-home mothers is just kind of like, that's looked down upon. And large families, it's looked down upon. And we want to come against that today. Because motherhood is a great thing. Children are a wonderful thing. So today, I want to take today's message and focus in on what makes a mom, and that's children. I'm not going to cover any new information. There's going to be no stunning revelations here, but just a reminder that children are a gift of the Lord, and they should be important to us. I'm going to be all over Scripture, but mostly in the book of Proverbs. So let's bow our heads and pray as we enter into the service. Father God, I thank you that motherhood is your idea, that you had that in your mind when you created human beings. Father God, I thank you for the mothers that are here present, Lord God, and I thank you that you've blessed them in that way, Lord. And I just pray that we as individuals could honor our mothers, honor the mothers that are present, and help them and assist them in their roles, Lord God, because it is an essential role in today's society. Lord, bless me as I speak, Lord God. Allow me to speak forth your word with confidence, with just the ability just to reach into the hearts and lives of your people. I thank you, Lord, ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first point in this message is children matter to God, and they should matter to us. Children matter to God, and they should matter to us. I don't know if any of you have ever had one of those little children Bibles. You know, they're basically just stories based on Scripture, and flip through, and invariably you'll find one story about Jesus with these children surrounding him. And if you look in Luke 18, verses 16 through 17, this is relating what happened there. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Think about what happens in the heart of a child as they're sitting on your lap and you're going through their Bible and they see that picture of Jesus, however he looked like, with kids on his lap, him smiling. I can still picture that page in my mind today. That picture of Jesus smiling, holding and hugging onto the children. And in your child's heart, as you share that story, they realize that God is approachable even for them. Even for them, God is approachable. That they can know Jesus Christ. That he loves them. That they are important to him. Think about it, people. God doesn't have any grandchildren, does he? He just has children. People that believe on him, they are his children. And God uses children, uses this scripture as a teaching tool for us. He says, you know what? These kids are a blessing. And in fact, if you can't believe as like one of these children believe, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What is one thing you know about children? They're very trusting. They're very trusting. And they don't have all the information. They can't conceive of all the information. Have you ever tried to explain why to a child? You know, you tell them something, they say, why? And then you explain it to them, they say, why? And you explain it to them, and they say, why? And you explain it to them, you can't. You can't get it across to them. But they trust. They trust. And Jesus uses this as an example. He says, hey, you guys think you got it all together? I want these children to come to me. And you know something? You need to believe like these children. You need to be that kind of trusting. I'll never forget the time when I was working at B&W and I was leading a friend of mine to the Lord. And it was one of these things where he was trying to analyze things. And, you know, he had a pros and cons. Become a Christian? Not become a Christian. You know, had pros and cons. And the pros outweighed the cons. But at some point, he had to make a step of faith and believe as a child. He had to make a step of faith and say, I will believe. You know, think about it. Everything's faith-based, right? You're going to eat a meal today. Most of us are going to eat a meal today. Anybody fasting today? No. You're going to eat a meal today. You're going to eat in faith that it's good food, right? Faith is so much part of our society. So, children, we're a teaching tool. But children are important to God. And they should be important to us. Point two in this message. Children are a blessing from God. It says in Psalm 127, verse 3, in the New King James Version, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, I do not believe that that means if you don't have children, that God hasn't blessed you, because I know God can bless in numerous ways. But when children happen, it's a blessing. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we got married, we went on our honeymoon, and we came back to the church here, and people were congratulating us. And this one young lady came up to me and said, now that you're married, you can have children. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, you know, let's not push it here, you know. These church people, you ever notice how pushy people can be at church? I mean, they're pushing me for years to get married. And then once I'm married, now I got to have children. So I said, no, we're going to wait a year. And 9 months later, our first child showed up, and I was thoroughly humbled. But it was a blessing, even though we didn't plan him. It was a blessing. It says in Psalm 127, verse 3 again, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The word heritage can mean something inherited. Now, you may have, from time to time, a fellow at work that comes in all excited, and you say, what are you so excited about? And he says, I just got an inheritance. And you're thinking, you know, dollar signs. You know, what is it? You know, $1,000? $10,000? $100,000? And he's like, no, it's this little 6-pound, 7-ounce little pink thing of flesh, which when it lets open its mouth, you think it was a lot bigger. But that's the way we should look at it. It's like, wow. I got something, and that I didn't deserve. It's an inheritance. It's a heritage for me. It's a legacy for me. It'll carry on part of me and part of my wife for the future generations. Wow, what a blessing that is. Children are a blessing. Children are a heritage from the Lord. But they don't come ready-made for life. They need a little development, a little nurturing. My third point in this message is, and if you don't get anything else out of this message, please listen now. Children are an investment. Children are an investment. They take time. They take energy. You know, planting season is going on, and a lot of people are putting in gardens and stuff like that. Hopefully, a couple months from now, at my house, you'll be able to come to this beautiful garden with rows of green beans and rows of corn and rows of potatoes and rows of onions, perfectly weeded, the tomato plants bulging with ripe fruit. But it didn't just happen, did it? I had to till the soil. I had to mix in, I don't use fertilizer, I use compost, whatever. I had to mix in nutrients. I had to put the plants in the ground. I had to put the seeds. I may even have to water them from time to time. Why? So that I can reap the benefits, so I can reap the fruit, or the vegetables, as the case may be. It's the same thing with children. We put effort into them. We spend time. And I'll tell you something, it does take a lot of work. You know, I miss young kids. My wife and I were visiting a family with small children. I didn't want to leave because they're all over me. You know, I'm like a kid magnet or something. And I'm loving on these kids. It was great. It was fun. My wife's like, you know, she's like, man, we got to let these people put these kids to bed. And I'm like, oh, let's stick around for a few more minutes. And as we left, we were driving the car, and I said, man, that was great. Those kids were wonderful. And I said, man, I wish we still had some that size. And she said, yeah, you could say that. You didn't put all the work into it. You know, she was the one that was nursing them, that was getting up 2 o'clock in the morning for those feedings and stuff. And yeah, they are a lot of work. But there's a reward. It says in Psalm 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Sow into those children. Even if they're not your children, sow into them. Give them an opportunity to learn. Give them an opportunity to grow. You know, they don't even have to be your children. I volunteer at the YMCA. We get tons of these second graders. And I have a little bit of opportunity to sow something into these kids, more so than just swimming. Some of these kids don't have dads. And I can teach them to trust the male figure. I always do that with them. I'm holding them in the water, and they're looking at me, and I'm like, do you trust me? I'll let you go under, but I won't let you stay under. There is a lot of sowing in tears, though. Late nights, staying up with a sick child, getting up early to feed them, being consistent in disciplining them. How about cleaning up for them and getting them ready for church? Now, some of you people know what I'm talking about here. And just as you're ready to leave, there's this noise, followed by an odor. And you turn them around and you realize that something major has taken place. And you're going to be late to church. All right? So you know what I'm talking about. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We like to claim this verse as a promise, but people, we should look at that word train up. We should look at that word train up. We need to invest. We need to be proactive in training up a child. It's really a call to arms. And that word train, the Hebrew word indicates discipline. Otherwise, we will have grief. And you know, the other side of the coin is Proverbs 10, verse 1. It's a proverb of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. You know what else the Bible says about foolishness? It says in Proverbs 22, 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. You know, I remember hearing Kirk Martin telling the story about his little girls and him getting congratulated in the restaurant for how well behaved they were. And he said to the people, Well, they don't come that way. They don't come that way. That's true. There has to be discipline. There has to be growth. You have to think in terms of where you're going to head your child. What direction? I mean, you can't tell them, you're going to be an electrical engineer. You know? You can't do that. But you can nurture and train them in the ways. Maybe they have giftings in music. Give them music lessons. Maybe they're doing well in math. Sign them up for accelerated courses. Maybe they're real handy with woodworking. Buy them a saw. Well, not when they're too little. But you got to nurture those things. And you got to look to the future and say, what kind of child am I wanting to have? So keep that in mind. Point four, continue on with this thought. There is a goal in mind in child rearing. You know, a lot of couples, when they get married, they're thinking about, oh, you know, it's so wonderful to have each other and everything. And they're not thinking too much about children at that point in time. But it says in Malachi 2, verse 15, has not the Lord made them one? Speaking of the marriage covenant. In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. One of the reasons God designed marriage was that a couple of individuals could come together and produce children that they could raise up in the knowledge of God. And then God would have a godly seed that would pass on faith in him to the next generation. We have to have that mindset with our children. Not just teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, but teach them the things of God. A friend of mine is a pastor of Grace Community Church, and he called me up Thursday on the National Day of Prayer and said, Paul, I got a problem. I hope you can help me out. I have to take my wife to the hospital, and I'm supposed to go down to the park today to pray for education. Could you cover that for me? And I said, sure, Dan, whatever you need. So I went down there, and you know, here I am. I'm a homeschool dad, and I'm going to pray for schools. And I'm thinking, what are they thinking? But I got up there, and really what I prayed for was children. And part of my prayer was that parents not relinquish their role in educating their children, but to take on the role, especially when it concerns the things of God. Because they're not going to teach your children the ways of the Lord in public school. They need to hear it from you at home. And I'm not just speaking to parents. I'm speaking to grandparents. I'm speaking to anyone that has influence in a child's life. You have an opportunity to teach them about the things of God. Psalms 127, verses 4 through 5 says this, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Again, this is one of these scriptures where we look at it from the front end. We think about, how many kids should I have? You know, well, how many arrows makes a quiver full? You know, we tend to look at it that way. But really what that scripture is talking about is in the future. When you, as the parent, walk up to the city gate and you got a couple fine men standing on at your back. My wife was shopping in Walmart, I think it was this last week, and my son went along with her and several of his friends. And one stood on one side of her and one stood on the other, one in the back, and they walked her down Walmart like Secret Service men. That's what that scripture is talking about. Son, you got my back. How does that happen? That doesn't happen by raising a fool, people. That happens by raising godly offspring. And it starts when they're young. It starts when they're little. Proverbs 31, verse 28 says this, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Moms, you've got an incredible role with children, especially when they're young. You know, when a little kid falls and bumps his head or cuts his finger, who does he cry for? Typically, it's mom. They want their mom. Moms are nurturing. Dads will say, it's not bleeding too bad. He'll get over it. It'll stop hurting as soon as the pain goes away, something like that. They want their mom. And you have such an ability to impart the things of God to them at a young age because you're with them. You can read them those stories. Oh, they love reading books, don't they? Yeah, they love to read about Sleeping Beauty. They love to read about Peter Pan. But take some time to get the Word of God in their hearts. Get the Word of God in their hearts. Show them that picture of Jesus holding those kids so they can appreciate the fact that Jesus is reachable even to them. My fifth point in this message is, and this is to everybody, we need to support mothers in their role. We need to support mothers in their role. In Titus 2, verse 3 and 4 and 5, it says this, "Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they should live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God." You know, my wife and I are entering the stage where the kids are starting to become self-sufficient and leave the nest. And I'm not relishing this. I'm not really enjoying this because I love my kids. I love them at home. But the point is, we raise them so that one day we can send them on their way. All right? That's the point. We raise them so we can send them on their way. And then, what do? Party. You know something? The work still isn't done. You still have opportunities to minister to your children as adults and to minister to your grandchildren. And specifically, it says to ladies here to teach women to love their husbands and love their children. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're feeding a child, like, you know, every couple hours at night, it's easy to kind of lose that heart of love, you know? And then your husband comes home and he's interested in dinner on the table and stuff like that. And boy, it's easy to cop an attitude toward him. So some of you older moms need to take some of these younger moms aside and teach them how to love their husbands and love their children, even in those difficult situations, even in those difficult times. You need to impart that to them. You need to tell them, hey, you know, there's a bright side to this picture. Right now it's tough, but things will get better. Pretty soon the kids will be, you know, taking care of their own needs. They'll be eating, feeding themselves. They'll be dressing themselves. Pretty soon they'll be washing the dishes. And after that, after a while, they'll actually be washing the dishes well enough that you can actually eat off of them. How exciting is that? You know, the time will come. But they need that time. They need people around them. And they also need, sometimes they need a little bit of direction where you see, hey, you know what? You're going to have a problem here if you let this continue. And you need to be able to speak into their lives and say, hey, in a loving and cherishing way, you're going to have a problem here unless you deal with this situation right here. So moms, even when you're grandmoms, you're not off the hook. There's still work to be done. And husbands, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, It says this, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker vessel or weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Guys, you may get a call from your wife while you're at work. And she says, "Can you pick up a pepperoni pizza on the way home today? That's going to be dinner." And you say, "What did you do all day?" No. No, you don't say that. You say, "Wow, you must have had a really rough day. How about some breadsticks too? And can I pick up some Pepsi or some Dr. Pepper?" Because guys, they're on the front lines at home. You got a break at work. Yeah, it's tough at work. Yeah, it was rough. You're on the computer all day, or you're dealing with a client, or you're putting up a bridge somewhere, or almost slipped off a piece of steel and hurt yourself or whatever. Yeah, you had a rough day. But your wife has been nurturing and sowing into your child, your heritage, your descendant, all day long. So if you can cut her some slack, that would be wonderful. You know what I'm talking about, guys? You know what I'm talking about, guys? I can't hear you. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. So, men, we're in the picture, too. The motherhood role is given to our wives, but we're in the picture, too. Father's Day is coming. It's a month away. We'll talk to you personally then. But at this point in the message, the idea is be there for your wife. Help with your children. And you know something, guys? Let me just say this, and I've said this before. You know, sometimes we have blended families, and the children that are in your home aren't your biological children. Tell you what, guys, make them your children in your own heart. And it's the same deal. So if she calls you for pizza, don't say, "Oh, what's wrong with your kids?" They're our kids. They're in your home, they're your kids too. I don't care if there's a biological connection or not. They're your kids. And if you're in a situation where you can speak into the lives, if you're a grandfather and you can speak into the lives of your sons to get them to think right about helping their wives, do so. Or if you can speak into the lives of your daughters who are struggling in their marriage situation or in their family situation, do so. We need to be connected. We need to be involved in one another's lives. And don't forget, call mom today. All right? Amen. Motherhood is an essential role. We only have children for a short time. I can't believe how quickly the years have gone. I can't believe how fast it went. It's like an eye blink. Ladies, I know financially it would look really good for you to work outside the home, but if you can manage it in any particular way, take that time. If it's at all possible, take that time to spend with your children. Your career will be waiting for you. Don't worry. 20 years down the line, you can, you know, or even less than that, as your kids grow up, you can take on jobs or stuff. But at that young age, it's so important to be there for them. Take that time with your kids. Life is short. Let's make the most of it. Amen? Amen. We've got a baptism we're going to do here. And can somebody get the kids? Let's get the kids from Sunday school. Hey, Terry, can you go and run and get some of the kids back in here? They need to see this. Last week we had a baptism. We're going to have a baptism again this week. Baptism is a wonderful time. Are they there? Yeah, all right. We'll get the plants here.